All right, let's get started. Fantastic. Okay, so session overview. There's four basic bits to it today. There's what's web conferencing, bit of an introduction for those who don't use it regularly. Use in VET. I've said VET because my boss told me not to talk too much about TAFE. How does it work? And probably what you're most interested in is tips and tricks for facilitating online. I'm guessing that's what people are kind of interested in. So, yeah. Okay, so that's basically what we'll be doing today. Okay, what's web conferencing? So this is me being inseparable from my computer. So that's my face and that's my computer. That makes me. I'm an online person. I have, in TAFE New South Wales, we have a lot of colleagues, and we're spread around the state in different areas. Now, I know this is very simple, but... So you've got a couple of different users, all at different computers. What web conferencing does, well, the version that I'm going to talk about, which is Adobe Connect, it works with a web server. Now, this is very simple, but it becomes important later on. So each person there is connected to the internet. The web server is internet-enabled. If that's me, that's that one. Sorry, there's a button on here for a little red thing. If that's me up in the corner and I'm presenting a web conference, my signal, and this is kind of important, my signal goes from my computer to the server first and then out to everybody else's machines. You'll see that does get important. If this person is at home on a slow internet connection and they're losing my voice, a temptation is, oh, okay, let's deal with your problem. Let's get into the technical problem. Why are you having this issue? I must say, often as not, I have to say, I'm sorry, I can't fix your sound issues at the moment, but if you listen to the recording, it will be okay, because the recording takes place on the web server. So if this person is having a slow connection, it doesn't mean everybody else is. So often as not, while it's a simple diagram about how web conferencing works, it does have implications for what you can do with it and how the recordings are made and things like that. Okay. So really, I'll get into the whys about web conferencing, but I guess what can you do with web conferencing? And the key really is content sharing. So I want to share with you some stuff. I may be a teacher, I may be a professional development person, I may be your colleague. There's a few audiences for web conferencing. We want to share. What do we want to share? The most basic thing is text chat. At the most rudimentary level, every web conferencing software I've seen uses text chat. Next most basic is audio chat. So I'm using a microphone, you can hear me, and if you've got a microphone and a headset, I can hear you. This is where web conferencing gets to be a lot more interesting than teleconference. You can have teleconference on the phone, you can email your documents beforehand, you can say, okay, look at PDF sheet number 35, that kind of thing. But when you start getting live chat and some of the other things we're about to see, that's where the power of web conferencing comes in. You can share documents, so I can share my Word documents, I can share PDFs, all sorts of things. There's some restrictions, but I'm not going to bother too much about that. Now, does anybody know what that drawing is? Yay! I've drawn all these things with PowerPoint drawing tools, and I didn't know how to draw a webcam, and I wasn't sure whether it would work. So the fact that somebody knows what I mean, that's good. You can have a webcam. So I can turn on my camera, you can turn on your camera, we can see each other. One interesting use of web conferencing that I don't have an example of, we're working with some deaf students who are setting up their web conferencing so that each person has a full-length camera. They can see this much of... That's all they have on the screen, is two big pictures of themselves, video conferencing and signing into the cameras. They're not using the audio, they're not using documents, they're just using their web cameras. So it's a pretty flexible medium. Okay, you can share movies, old school Super 8, if you like that drawing. You can share pictures and photographs and things like that. Now that one, my wife thought it was a microphone, but it's actually a drawing. It's supposed to be a pen drawing something. So what I was pointing to there was the fact that you can annotate and draw with whiteboard over the top of a whole lot of documents. Let's say you've got a photograph of one of your classes or something that you're teaching with. It might be you're teaching welding. You've got a close-up photograph of the spark in the weld. You can use whiteboard tools to sketch straight onto that picture and say, look, see here, see the white spot, that's really hot, don't touch it, you know, whatever. Okay. You can also use audio. So I can play music, sounds, recordings, things through web conferencing. What's really good, though, for content sharing in web conferencing is the spooky little eye in the middle. What the real power and the real trick with it comes when you start sharing what you can see, what I can see. So if I've got something on my computer screen, the fact that I can share my computer screen with you. So that's kind of where the most powerful, where it gets really interesting with web conferencing for me. There's a few examples. You know, you're working on a very a high-end 3D CAD program or something like that. You're trying to explain that to a student. You can use web conferencing to actually share out your computer screen. Not only share your computer screen so that the student can see what you're doing on your machine, but in some cases you can actually ask the student to take control of your machine and to run the program that is on your machine. So that's where it gets really interesting and powerful for me. Yeah. It's drawing tools within the software, and I do talk about smart boards later on only as an input. You can use smart boards as an input. If I had a smart board here and I was running an Adobe Connect meeting through that computer, what I was doing on the smart board could be coming up on the screen. And you'll see from some of the screenshots that's how that sort of shows up. But yeah, I'm talking about the ability to get a highlighter and circle something, really, that's on the screen. Okay, so content sharing is really why you're doing it. Okay, why the challenge for TAFE New South Wales? We're fairly big. This is some of the institutes. We're one of the largest vet training providers in the world. I had to find out some of the numbers, and the number of students that we have surprised me, actually. I estimated one-fifth of what we actually have when I found this out. We are spread around the state. We've got 10 institutes. Now, you can see the institutes here. There's Western, Riverina. We've got some representatives from some of these institutes here today. Each of those institutes has campuses. So you can see how big Western Institute is up there. Where is it? Western's huge. But even poor little North Sydney, even though it's not poor, it's got lots of money, that has four campuses, Brookvale, St. Leonard's, Meadowbank and Hornsby. So you can see that already, even within one little institute, North Sydney Institute, there's already disparate organisations. TAFE will be split along the lines of faculty quite often, so automotive at Meadowbank won't talk to IT at North Sydney, that kind of thing. But when you start talking about professional development and getting your staff up to speed with technology, then you can see that you've got some challenges if you want to talk to all those different campuses at the same time. And there's over 500,000 students, I didn't realise. Last year there was 504,000 students enrolled in TAFE New South Wales, which is amazing. Okay. There is demand for flexible delivery in many ways. Distance is a barrier to study, as you can see from those maps earlier on. There's a lot of students have to travel a long way. There is a great demand for workplace learning. So a lot of TAFE students are already employed. So they would like to do their training within their workplace, or at least make it work around their workplace. There is a great demand for out-of-hours training, Saturdays, weekends, things like that. Evenings. And there's constant desire. The reason a lot of people do go to TAFE is because of the flexible attendance, that they can study at their own time, in their own space, at their own pace. I think that's how it goes. There's also, with the move to e-learning in general, repositories, Moodles, Sakai's, all that kind of thing, there is a greater demand for learning, training materials and learning materials. And one of the things you can't forget with web conferencing is that you can make recordings. So I can, and we do it quite regularly, I want to explain something to somebody, and I've found that I've explained it 20 times to different people. I can make a recording, post it on a website, post it on a wiki, that kind of thing. So I can start making content using web conferencing tools. there's a great demand also, and this is part of where I work, is in organisational professional development and capability needs. So building capability for TAFE teachers is one of our key strategic goals for this year from the state at a state level. So I'm trying to get teachers up to speed with technology of all sorts. Okay. There's a few pros and cons, and these are by no means exhaustive. What's interesting is web conferencing slots into a flexible training schedule as a new medium. It's not replacing something. If anything, it's not replacing teleconferences or face-to-face or workshops or anything like that. It is another tool. So, and that's kind of interesting because it is an open field, and it's part of why a lot of teachers initially had a bit of trouble working out what to do with it and how they would use it. Because it's greenfield, it's a new medium as opposed to a replacement medium. Now it is designed for computer-based synchronous meetings, and that's a pro, but it can also be a con. It means that it's mainly designed that you get together at 6 o'clock on Tuesday evening for 1 hour in a shared computer space. A key strength is the ability to review recorded sessions, and I can't stress that enough. Students again and again come back to where can I see the recording, where can I see? Even if they've been in the session, they want to go back to it. Allows flexible teaching delivery. You can change your hours as well as meeting students' needs to be flexible. It can also be used to supplement the use of an LMS or website. So Learning Management System. Examples include Moodle, Sakai, Blackboard, WebCT, the old Janison for TAFE people who know all about Janison. Okay. You can use a learning management system to hold all your content, and you can use your web conferencing to actually meet and talk about it. Okay, some cons, and it's not a perfect world. It doesn't necessarily work on its own. It's not a complete training package, and I've seen a few teachers really get frustrated when they try to make it be that, make it be the only training method that they use. It's not a bad idea to have another website where you keep your stuff, where you tell your students what's going on, that kind of thing, or your trainers, your whoever you're teaching. It does need to be facilitated, obviously, but you know, so does face-to-face teaching. Relies on good network and computing infrastructure, and that's really crucial. That's probably the biggest bugbear with it, is when things technically fall over. The technology can challenge students and teachers. Now, we have this idea that all students, anybody under the age of 25, knows everything about computers. They don't necessarily. You've also got the barriers like language, shyness, all sorts of things that mean that technology is a real challenge for some students to deal with, economic, all sorts of, you know, access. But the same is true for teachers. There is a frightening number of teachers in TAFE who are over 50, and we're going to lose a lot of people over the next few years. And a lot of people, and this is true, I think, in education. I've worked in a few universities. I've been doing this for 30 years. Why do I need to learn another technology? It's very true. There's a lot of teachers who resist technology, and it can be seen to be another impost on top of, I've already got my teaching load, why do I have to learn this as well? And don't see the kind of longer term it could help you. Okay, technical failures are the worst thing that you can do during a web conference. Okay, TAFE New South Wales has gone with Adobe Connect. It's been on trial in TAFE New South Wales for 3 years. Now, I wasn't part of the decision on how we chose Adobe Connect as the medium that we used, but it's not the only one by any means. There are other web conferencing applications, some of them there, Citrix GoToMeeting. Now, I don't know them, and I must say if you've got any experience with any of them, let me know if it's different from my experience. Interestingly, though, all of these first five software rate more highly with users than Adobe Connect. I found out in a survey of last year. But anyway, so I don't know these ones so well, but so I'm kind of embedded in Adobe Connect, and your experience may be different. Okay. What are teachers saying? The trial's been running for 3 years. It hasn't been forced down people's throats. It's been a bit ad hoc. But what are the teachers who have been involved saying about it? It's great because it reduces travel costs. Students can travel from... students don't have to travel, particularly country students, they don't have to travel to the institute in the evening. It's, you know, people like this, that kind of, you know, all that kind of night driving in the country, there's a whole lot of safety issues. Lower greenhouse emissions because people aren't travelling so much. And that's also true if you think that we're using web conferencing for professional development. I was running workshops in the last couple of weeks where I had 50 attendees, and those attendees were from all over the state. They were from Riverina, from Cooma, they were from Broken Hill, they were from Glen Innes, they were from, you know, all over the state. 50 people in a room without travelling, fantastic, you know, fantastic idea. You can study from home or work. We do find that a lot of workplaces don't, unless it's IT based, they don't spend a lot on infrastructure. You may have issues there. Can reach distant students. Can host many students at once as well. There's a limit to how much you can effectively work with students. But it cuts meeting and travel costs for the organisation as well as for the students. That's been a big plus for TAFE New South Wales. And overwhelmingly positive response. There was a survey done that was summarising the end of the trial at 2 years. It's still running as a trial, but everybody's become so used to it that it's like, no, don't take it away. People love it. People who've got involved love it very much. There were 26 people interviewed for the end of project report. And they stopped writing in the responses after about six people because they're all saying the same thing. It's fantastic. We want to use it. I can see how we can use it with our students. Don't take it away. We need more training. And they all said the same thing. They all loved the fact that web conferencing had been introduced in TAFE New South Wales. Okay. And I'm only briefly talking about integration with other platforms. I'm not sure if anybody's using any of these other spaces, but there's a whole range of other platforms. Two ways that we use web conferencing with other platforms. So you can link to your meetings by placing information on your website. So your Moodle site or whatever you tell your students or trainers to go to in the first instance, your homepage for your site, you say, okay, welcome, Tuesday night, go to this URL, this meeting room address. So you can use, you can point out to your Adobe Connect meetings with the information you're giving your students. But it, that's not what I was going to say there. I was going to say you can. I was also going to re-stress the fact that when you make recordings of your web conferencing sessions, you're making learning resources, and you know you can populate all of these. You can record with your voice some of the stuff that you need to keep teaching again and training again and again and again. But you can also use the Adobe Connect content library. Gives everything that you record, even if I take a simple PowerPoint, upload it onto the content library, it automatically gets its own URL. And then it becomes a web resource. Then I can email it. Then I can stick it in the middle of my class notes. Then I can, you know, that URL becomes really portable. So it's a really nice side benefit of Connect is that it becomes a hosting service for your learning materials. Okay, just a couple of different types of presentations. Again, I'm not being specific here. So a simple one is follow me. I'm going to show you a website. So come into my web conferencing room. I'm leading, and I'm going to walk you through the website that shows you how to enrol your students. So you're just going to follow what I do. Chalk and talk, this kind of, you know, PowerPoint and yak. Round table. So one of the great things about conferencing is you can make it as, you know, a level playing field. Everybody is a presenter. Everybody has the same permissions. You can do group work with it, and I'll show you an example of a thing called breakout rooms that they have in Adobe Connect. Great for collaboration, particularly at an organisational strategic level. For something like TAFE, we do get TAFE Institute heads together on Adobe Connect. We have an agenda up there, and we make notes as we go along. We type into a notepad, and we sort of write down our actions as we go through the meeting. So We do collaborate to produce a set of outcomes. It's, in that case, it's just the minutes of a meeting, but you can see the point. Great for planning because everybody can bring their own documents to the table. Okay, here's my plans for graphic design for this website. Here's my plans for, you know, what I want to do with my students next year. Everybody can bring their own documents for sharing and discussion in the web conferencing space. You can also use it to broadcast an event. We're not doing it today, but I could have a web camera up there that is showing this room, and I could have a microphone that is broadcasting it, and there might be another. We have done this. We've done face-to-face meetings like this where we've had 15 people, again, around the state in their own houses, workplaces and offices, listening in on the same event at the same time. And there'd be somebody there facilitating, watching a chat box, making sure if somebody asks a question out there remotely, it can just be relayed to the presenter. So it's quite flexible in that way. You can use it to broadcast an event and bring in an audience that's much wider than the room. Okay. Biggest challenges. How are we going? 26 minutes. This is some of the output from teachers I've talked to about some of the problems that they have with Connect. And none of them are deal breakers as far as these teachers are concerned, but they are things to be aware of. The technical aspect for teachers and participants is challenging in the first instance. It doesn't take much to get over it. Once they've successfully done one or two meetings, it's usually okay, but then if they don't do it for a year and then they come back, they often find it a bit challenging again. So the initial technical aspect is challenging. Getting the audio right is important, and it's probably the biggest bugbear that I have with Connect. If I want to run an Adobe Connect meeting with 20 people and myself, getting all those 20 people's microphones working is a real challenge. I'm not there to troubleshoot. They're usually remote. I don't know their technical levels. I can't even see the equipment they're working with. So that's probably one of the biggest challenges, is getting the audio right. And it's the regular things, you know, oh, you're dropping off. There's a digital cutoff level to microphone levels in Adobe Connect. So if I start talking a bit softly, you don't hear me whispering. What happens is sound, oh, gone too quiet, off. It cuts me off completely. If I drop below a certain volume level, my voice will be cut off completely. So what you find is that people come in and go out, come in and go out. Simple remedies. There are a few simple remedies. One of them is, you know, move your microphone close to your mouth. That's 90% of the time that will fix it. But it's one of the big challenges. It's getting the audio right. There's tools and tricks in Adobe Connect, and I'm sure in the other software, that will help that as well. Okay, bandwidth and network speeds is a constant problem. If, for us, in our experience, if you are sitting at a DET computer on the DET network in an institute or a school, because remember DET's larger than TAFE, then you usually don't have a problem. If you're sitting on ADSL broadband at home, it can be a problem in Sydney if you are too far away from your telephone exchange. Conversely, we've had a lot of success with countries, you know, no problems in some country areas. Apparently South Coast is one of the worst for network connections. But it's not city versus country, it's how far you are from the exchange. Network speed can drop off. This is number one. Every time I ask teachers, what do you need? What do you need to get happier about using web conferencing? Find time to practice. That's always the thing. The load that new technology, learning a new technology takes on teachers is the biggest barrier to taking it up. Changing your teaching approach. Now, I put this in, and this is what a lot of teachers say, but what I'm finding is that some of the best examples are people who don't change their teaching approach. They go, okay, this is what I usually do with my students. This is another tool. I'm going to do the same thing. And it works for them. I'll show you an example later on. Creating interactive content. Making digital resources doesn't come naturally to somebody who hasn't always, you know, hasn't... I get, in this instance, I'm talking about creating quizzes, creating little self-check activities, things like that. It does take time to develop electronic resources for your students as well. And getting feedback from participants, it is quite remote. I can sit here and I can look at you and I can tell how bored you're getting just by the look on your faces and how low your heads are going. But in a Connect meeting, you can't. So I might have been rabbiting on for an hour, not realising nobody's hearing me, not realising that so-and-so's answering the phone. You know, it's... Yeah, exactly. You know, have they got their Outlook on? You know, all that kind of thing, you know. Okay, and this is a big one that we haven't found. We've just done some tests last week. We have a vision impaired disability expert who's had a look at Connect again recently. It is really bad for vision impaired people. It's very hard to use. It's partly because it's flash based. I'll show you the screens later on. Basically, there is no way that a person who can't see the screen can tell where to click, even to get to the chat pod, even to, you know, to turn something on. It's very poor. So that's a big barrier. Okay. Please stop me if you've got a question, because I'm just going to talk a little bit about the interface.
Go. Are you getting to, with this, because I noticed that the session's effective facilitation.
Yes.
So
am I going to get there?
The actual act of the facilitator and the qualities of the facilitator, are we getting to that?
Maybe. Yes, definitely. Okay, I will skip through this first. What time? We've got 20 minutes, I think, maybe an extra couple of minutes. I will get to that very, very shortly. Sorry, I guess I'm giving a bit too much background. You're quite right. For those who haven't seen a web conferencing meeting, here's an example of Adobe Connect meeting room. There's a few things going on here. This is one particular layout, and all of these little units are called pods. So that's a camera pod. It's optional. I can choose to have my web camera on. Down the bottom is audio controls. So I can hold my microphone down briefly, or I can turn it on for the whole time. So whether I'm speaking or not, that's how I control it. This shows everybody who's in the meeting. Now, I've taken this screenshot when nobody else was in the meeting, but you'll see other ones where I do have friends and people I talk to on Connect. I'm not just there on my own. And there are different icons for different status attendees. Now, my status, and I'll show you a screenshot of that bit later on, this is about the only way you get feedback from participants. You know, if somebody wants you to go faster, go slower, speak up, if they agree with what you're saying, you can use some My Status options to say, yes, I agree, or give an applause, things like that. That visual feedback is the biggest thing missing for a lot of teachers. They have no idea what's going on out there. They have no idea whether they're being heard, whether they're making sense, whether they're putting people to sleep. Chatpod is the most basic way to communicate, and I know a lot of teachers who just use the chatpod. They talk, and the students can only use the chatpod. It makes it gets over a lot of the technical hassles, gets over a lot of the broadband issues, and it's quite effective. Okay, web link pod. I can put links in there and click on those links and force everybody to go off to a website. Poll pods. Now, I talk about interaction. One of my recommendations is you break it up every now and then. Put in something that gets people to give some feedback. You can create polls on the fly. That's a fairly simple one. And the most common thing you usually do is use a SharePod to show a PowerPoint. And you can see there's one there on the screen. All right, there's also status options. If a person has a question and I haven't paid attention, they can click on there to raise their hand and I get a notification going, excuse me, somebody wants to say something. Okay. So that's the interface of Adobe Connect. It's a couple of roles. The host sets up the meeting, uploads and shares content. A presenter can upload and share some content but can't move things around. And most people are usually a participant. Students, they can view content, use text chat. If I'm the host, I can tell participants that they can use their microphones or not. I can tell them that they can use a whiteboard or not, that kind of thing. Okay, what's this? Oh, I had a lolly. Anybody can tell me what it is? I'll throw you a lolly. Yes? Oh, no, I'll eat it then. Tips and tricks. Sorry. Oh, God, I had a couple of beers by this time. I thought it was quite amusing. Yeah, no, it's a bunny. Anyway, I thought it was amusing. Okay, so this is the guts of what I needed to talk about. Okay, I'm going to talk about four parts of the meeting. First, getting ready before you even get to the meeting room, what you should do, being prepared, what you should do at the start of the meeting, because remember, this is time-based, so, you know, we start at 12 o'clock Wednesday. So what are you doing just before the meeting and the beginning of the meeting? What are you doing during the meeting? And what do you do when it's finished, done and dusted? Okay, so this is my kind of best ideas. Okay, getting ready before you even get started. Create your new meeting room with a short and memorable URL. Remember, you're going to have to advertise this. There is a in Adobe Connect, you can choose what to call your meeting rooms. So it will have the URL webconf.det.newsouthwales, which everybody knows, / the name of your meeting. You know, Rory's meeting or meeting 7. Call it something useful. Consider how to advertise to students. How are you going to reach your students to get them to come to your meeting on time? This ties back into how you communicate with them. How are you communicating at the moment? Are you using email? Are you using a website, a wiki, something else? And do you need to link to the meeting room from other sites? That kind of the same idea. So think about that before you set up your meeting. Now, sending invitations, and this is a personal recommendation. It's not the way, if you talk to the Adobe guy, he won't say do this. What Adobe recommends is that you use Adobe Connect and you can register all your participants, and then you use the function within Adobe Connect to send out the emails to everybody. I find it personally a lot less hassle. If when you set up a new meeting, you've got these three options. Only registered users may enter the room, only registered users and accepted guests. So if you ask to come into my room, I can go accept or deny. Or anyone who has the URL for the meeting. Unless you're using it for assessment or something like that, unless you've got competitive advantage material that you want to protect, then I wouldn't. Certainly in my instance, we don't tend to feel the need to protect our content so much, and it's a lot easier if I can say anyone who has the URL can go in. That just means I don't have to continually administer my attendees. So what I'm saying is make sure your meeting room is open to the public, and that's what I mean. Just so that you're not locking people out. But it's a choice. Think about that choice. It's up to you. I send invitations using my regular email as opposed to sending them out using the system that wants to manage people. And always ask participants to log into the room before the meeting to check connections. This is really important. You can do it under the guise of a pre-workshop activity or something like that. A colleague of mine gets people to fill in the VARC questionnaire. What is your learning style? Are you visual, audio? I can't ever remember what R is, or K for kinesthetic. Sorry?
Read, write,
or kinesthetic. So, for instance, a colleague of mine says, go and do this VARC questionnaire, then log into the room and type in your results into a chat pod or something like that. So they're getting them to make sure that they can get to the room and check out what's happening in the room before the meeting time. Okay, now in Adobe Connect, certainly you can have a number of layouts. In Connect, and I'm being a bit specific here, layouts are easier to manage than SharePods than a meeting. I'll show you what I mean. I can open and close a poll, but it's easier if I have a new layout. When I say, let's do a poll, click on the layout, it's all there ready to go. It's easier to set up layouts beforehand. Always have an open chat pod and the attendee list at a minimum. The most frustrating thing for people is if you've got your, let's say on your right-hand side you've got your PowerPoint, on the left-hand side you've got your chat pod, you can make your PowerPoint full screen. Then it covers over everything. And if you sit there for 10 minutes with your PowerPoint covering over the chat pod and things like that, somebody's going, I can't hear you. They can't get to the chat pod. They can't tell you they can't hear you. They can't give you feedback. So always have an open chat pod. That everybody can access. The attendee list is good for the meeting manager because you can see if somebody's raised their hand or asked a question, something like that. Okay, give your pods meaningful names. I'll show you when I show a screenshot. Instead of saying chat 4, say chat December 3rd. Chat Adobe Connect, chat presenter, whatever you're talking about. Name your pods because, yes, it's just a good idea. Now, I create a layout for each stage of my meetings. So, and I'll show you a couple of examples now. So here's an Adobe Connect meeting room, and this is the room that I've been using most recently. This meeting room is about Adobe Connect. So I teach teachers how to use Connect, so that's why you'll find a lot of this is kind of referential. So here's a layout for the foyer. this is when people come in. So if I've told you to arrive at 12 o'clock, when you come in at 10 to 12, this is what it'll look like. This is what the meeting room will look like. We've got a couple of pods here. Up the top is the attendee list. I'm the only one, again, there with all my friends. I've got an agenda for the day. What are we doing today? Homework review, notes for hosting. I've got instructions for setting up your audio. Always I keep that up there because every time somebody comes into an Adobe Connect meeting, somebody will have trouble with their audio, so I always leave that on screen. I'll have an open chat pod. Usually, actually this one's shown at the end of a meeting, but usually I will have typed in saying, welcome everybody, we start at 12. So there'll be a chat pod with a welcome message in it. There's downloads, so while they're waiting, they can download the resources that I'm using that day. So if I'm showing a PowerPoint or something like that, that's a downloadable document there. And then, just because it's more interesting, there's a little fella up there called the Yeti, a little game. So, because people who've been and done this, you know, five-week program, third week in, it's going, okay, here I am, I'm 5 minutes early because I'm always early. I'm not. What am I doing? I'm playing the Yeti game. You know, just nothing's happening. You know, let's just give them something to do. Down here in the corner, you can see this. This is actually just linked to an MP3 file. I play music. If you come into my meeting room 10 to 12, it's a lot more welcoming to find that you can hear the music. Okay, my audio is working. It's not dead air. There's something happening. It's just a bit more welcoming. I definitely usually play pre-meeting music and let them do something, like play a game or fill out a pod or download something. Okay, so this is before, remember, this is getting ready. Once the meeting starts, we might move into this next layout. So we've changed things around. We've still got the attendee list and the chat pod. You can see that I do have friends now. And you can also see that my colleague and I have turned on our cameras. That's not a bad idea. We usually just do it for 5 minutes at the beginning of the session. We don't run video all through the session because it consumes bandwidth, but we will turn on our cameras, go high, pause them like that, and then so that people get an idea of who we are. Okay. And we'll do an icebreaker activity. In this instance, up the top there, we've got a picture of some backyards. I've just made a montage of backyard photos. And what we do is get people in the chat pod, or to get them to practice their microphone, I'll say, tell us about your backyard. What do you like most about your backyard? So it's just an icebreaker activity. You can do anything you want. We've done one where you have a space station. Okay, you're in the space station. You've got 5 minutes to gather three things, what would you take with you before the space station burns and you jump in the life pod. You know, that kind of just an icebreaker activity. The other alternative is you can just give everybody microphone rights and go down the list and say, okay, Kate, how are you today? I'm fine. Oh, where are you? I'm in Dubbo, whatever. And you just make sure everybody can use their microphone, that kind of thing. So just an icebreaker activity at the beginning. We spend a bit of time because we're teaching about Connect, but if you're doing an organisational meeting, you probably wouldn't spend this much time doing it. This is just what we do for teaching about Connect. I've also got these. If I'm getting people to use their microphones for the first time, I'll also have this up on screen at the same time. So this is the buttons they need to know about how to use their microphones. There's the audio controls. Click it and hold it for a little bit. Click the padlock to hold it, and there's some options. So this, I'll have this on screen while I'm showing the students, getting the students to use their microphones for the first time. Yeah.
That's all within the Adobe Connect.
So here's the layout. Yeah, this is just a PowerPoint that I've created, and I've shared it within a little share pod. So these are called pods. Attendee pod, chat pod. This is a share pod. I've just loaded a PowerPoint that I've made on my machine, and that's the PowerPoint there. Yep. So I could load this PowerPoint anyway. All right. So then here's another layout. Sharing. And this is usually when you get into the guts of the meeting. You slim it down. You just have the people. And this is what I was talking about. Always have a chat pod open. For me, it's good to have the attendees because you can see they're giving me feedback. I've asked a question and I've asked people to agree. Cheryl, Isabella and Judy have all given me a tick, so they've agreed to whatever I asked them. And then in the right-hand pod, most of the area here is filled up with a PowerPoint. And this is probably 90% of time in 80% of time in web conferencing, this is what you'll be doing. This play bar is just because I've taken a screenshot from a recording of a meeting. So this play bar doesn't usually show up in Adobe Connect. Okay, this is another layout I've done. Now, I don't expect you to read this, that's fine, but it's just another way that you can use the tools that are in the software. All I've done, remember we had the attendee pod? Under there's the regular chat pod, but I've made four new chat pods. One says, what are the benefits of using Connect? One says, what are the challenges? One says, good things I've learned to do, and one says, I need to learn how to. So it's a little so here's a stop and reflect activity where I get everybody to fill in each one of those four boxes. What I find actually is that these tips become really useful. I can export each of these chat pods as an email to myself, then I take the text, and I've been putting it up on our wiki site, tips and tricks for using Adobe Connect. You know, benefits of using Connect, here's a list. You know, challenges, here's a list. So I'm actually generating content for my wiki and for my other sites using the tools within Connect. And then towards the end of the meeting, we'd have a wrapping up layout. You can see we've got the attendee pod, we've got the chat pod, but we've also got, okay, download everything you've seen today. Here's the PowerPoints. Here's my handouts. You know, download them now. Oh, 5 minutes. And, okay. So that's getting ready. Uploading content. You can upload content into a content library, which is really useful because you can share it with other meetings. If you're running three different meetings, you can either upload content into that meeting or you can share it. And that's, content library allows material to be used, reused. So consider where your material is going to sit. Okay, still in getting ready. This is a key tip for me. I usually, when I run a web conferencing meeting, I have two computers. I'll go to a lab or I'll go to a room that has two computers or I'll borrow a laptop and sit it beside my computer. On my main computer, I'll log in as a host, and on the other laptop, I'll log in as a participant. It's really useful because when, in the middle of the meeting, if I'm sharing my screen, I'm in an application, I might not be able to see the chat pod. I might not be able to tell whether participants can see what I'm seeing. So I'm showing a video. How can I tell that they're seeing it? So I always have a second machine logged in as a participant. And remember the drawing we had at the beginning? Everybody is separately connected to the server in the middle. So I'm talking to the server here and I'm getting a second signal so I can see what everybody's doing. For a bigger group, two hosts are better than one. It's a good idea to recruit somebody to team teach with you. Even if I find that if I'm fronting a group of 25 or something like that, and I haven't got somebody to team teach with me, I go, who knows how to use Connect? Somebody who's got the most experience, I say, okay, you're on the chat pod. Tell me if there's a question I need to answer. Butt in, tell me. Because if I'm talking, I'll forget the chat pod. Okay, getting ready. Find a quiet room to run your meeting. Really important. You don't want phone. You don't want knocking on the door. You don't want interruptions. Silence, turn off your phone. Turn off your email. If you've got Outlook running, Microsoft Outlook, when a new email message comes in, what it'll do, it'll pop over the top of your meeting. And you go, oh, what's that? Oh, it's from my boss. Oh. Okay, turn off email if you can. Set up your headset, make sure it's working, and browse to everything that you want to show. Have it open in the background already because you don't want users to sit there while you type in your password. Log in where you need to. So now we're moving from getting ready to at the start of the meeting. Be in the online room early. Some people like to be early, I don't. But I've learned I have to be for Adobe Connect. At least 15 minutes beforehand. You don't want people to drop into an empty room. Put a message in the chat pod about the starting time. And I personally play some music, I've already said that. Remind everyone to check their audio setup. That's the first thing I do. And also welcome participants. As people drop in, say, hi, Linda, you know, chat pod, just greet people as they arrive just so they feel like they're visible and attended to. Now, you saw in the layout before that I had this little picture of the backyards. So at the start of the session, post an agenda and outline what you're going to do and start with an icebreaker or a simple introduction as I was showing before. Create a chat activity. Get something to get people involved right at the beginning. It can be a chat activity or do a round robin on the microphones. You saw that in the layout that I was showing before. And you saw it with this session. I always forget to press the record button. It happens every single, well, not every single time. I have to tell somebody who has a better brain than me to record the session. Okay, during the meeting, don't let individual technical problems slow the meeting. If somebody is having problems with their connection speed, remember that it's probably only their connection. You know, everybody else's is probably okay. Don't cripple the whole meeting for one person who's having... It's the worst thing about presenting. Start on time, get stuck in and finish on time. That's what I would say. And avoid dead air, a radio term for when there's nothing going on. You know, even when I had those chat boxes up there before and I said fill in the four questions, that would take only 2 or 3 minutes, but I would play some music in the background while it's going on. Avoid dead air. Keep an eye on the chat pod always. And yes, all microphones off unless needed. You get people talking the whole conversation on the phone in the background. Make it flow smoothly. Now, don't point out your own mistakes. You'll find that, you know, if you sit there going, oh, that's not loading. Oh, it'll come up in a minute. Blah, blah, blah. You just kind of, you know, go with it. You know, press the button to load the next slide a bit earlier. If you've got your two computers, you can tell, oh, God, it is taking a little while to load. Just press the button earlier. You know, just kind of, people won't notice, usually, if you don't point them out yourself. Use preparing mode. So if I've forgotten something and somebody else has talked, my other host is talking, I can use preparing mode. It means that I can sneak off into another layout, quickly make a chat, make a poll or something like that, get it ready, line up a PowerPoint to a certain slide, that kind of thing. There's also a presenter-only area. Here's an Adobe Connect meeting, and everything on this and there is the presenter-only area. So if I'm hosting a meeting with another host, only the hosts can see this bit. So there's a presenter chat right up the top there. I might have notes. Oh, we're going to do the space station. Do we need to do a survey? You know, you can chat with the other presenters. Don't use it that much these days, but it's a useful trick. You can also prepare material. You might open a new SharePod. It'll open up in the presenter-only area. When you're ready to introduce it, you can just click and drag it into the meeting room. So people don't see the presenter area until you drag it into the meeting room. Okay, building interaction is key in the meetings because you are so distant. How is our time? We've got... Okay, I will go 5 more minutes, if that's all right. I think we're supposed to finish at 4:15. Okay, I'm almost there. You can see that this is the guts of what I was talking about, so I'm almost there. So build interaction is one of the keys because you are remote. And here's some of the tools that are in Adobe Connect. I can't get you raising your hand, I can't get you blinking and yawning, but I can ask, okay, I've made a statement, give me an agree symbol, give me a disagree symbol. If the phone's rung, make sure people say I've stepped away. And you can see speak louder, speak softer, speed up, slow down. Okay, set activities that use the chat pod. I've shown a couple of examples of that. One of the things you need to do as opposed to face-to-face, I can stand there and go, any questions, and I can see what's going on. But if I do that in a Connect meeting, I'll get dead air. I'll get nothing. You know, nobody wants to be the first one to jump onto their microphone unless they're really comfortable with web conferencing. So what you'd need to do is say, not any questions, but what do you think of that thing I just said? Give me an agree or disagree. You know, give me some feedback. Insist that people give you a yes or no. And so it just forces people into that interaction because volunteering, they won't do it. Okay, building interaction continued. There's an example of a poll pod. How'd you go with your homework? I like the last one. It says, my computer broke, my cat got sick, Telstra cut all my internet network to my office. I could not do my homework and it's all K-Rudd's fault. Break up with regular interactivities like polls, like chat activities. Spoken feedback, get people on the mic, get somebody else to talk. As you can tell already, we're 45, 50 minutes down and you're bored of my voice. And it happens as much worse on Adobe Connect. Whiteboard exercises, you can draw on a graphic, things like that. Try and break it up every 20 minutes or so if you can. Build interaction. There's also a thing in here called breakout rooms. It allows you to take a large group and break them down into small groups. You can assign them off into their own little meeting rooms, so when they go in there, they're little presenters. You can use that to form smaller subgroups, great for brainstorming sessions, and for practicing tasks. Particularly, I mean, for us, I'm teaching about Connect, so it's great. Go in there and practice your presentation skills, upload a PowerPoint, put something in the chat pod, that kind of thing. But you can use it in many more ways than that. Okay, screen sharing is a black art, and it's something you really need to get your head around. Master the art of screen sharing. In Adobe Connect, you can share your whole desktop, so everything you can see on the screen. I can share an application, so Internet Explorer only, or Word only, or I can share a window. So I've got 5 Internet Explorer windows open, I just share that one, that kind of option. And this is where 2 computers really helps, because if I'm sharing my whole desktop, chances are I can't see the chat pod because it's hidden behind whatever I'm sharing. So great idea to have 2 computers. It's even possible to share the Connect meeting room that you're in, but you might get the tunnel. You used to get this groovy tunnel of death where you see the same thing inside the same thing. But okay, application sharing is a bit harder. Remote participants can take control of an application that you share on your machine. So the example we use is I have a Microsoft Word document open on my machine, and I say, okay, I'll look down the attendee list and go, okay, Cheryl, you take control. They can click on a request control button, then their mouse is moving in my Microsoft Word on my machine. They can type, they can change fonts, colours, etc. So you can remotely control an application. Only one person, so I'm the host, I can do it. I can control it any time. The attendees can control one at a time. It does take practice to set up, and you can control who has access. And it is great for demonstrating complex computer-based training tasks hands-on. Okay, when the meeting's over, and we're almost done and dusted ourselves, I try and have a survey in there, something to get feedback. So gather feedback from your participants. And this is a useful point. If you are going to use Adobe Connect, you can create a survey in Adobe Presenter or Captivate. Now, Adobe Presenter is a plug-in for PowerPoint. So you can take a regular PowerPoint like this. With Presenter as a plug-in, I can record my voice onto this. I can put video in this, and then I can export it as a Swift file or a web page. It extends the power of PowerPoint. That's what Adobe Presenter does. Captivate is a screen capturing software, and both of them allow you to create flash output or follow up with a survey. Recordings are really important. You can choose to record your meetings. What's interesting is each recording will have its own URL, so again, you can put it in as a resource into your materials. And students love recordings. Okay, last thing, consider the offline layout. What does the meeting room look like when the session is over? You can post links to notes and recordings. Leave your handouts up there. So if a student has missed out on something during the session, they can go back there and download what you gave them before, and leave your contact details. Okay, we use this All Things Connected wiki site to support our site. The last thing I was going to do was have somebody else talk for a moment, but I think Graham Wilson will have to wait for another time. Yes, I was going to get Graham Wilson to talk. That's an example of one of his meeting rooms. So, really nice way that he uses Adobe Connect is just to draw on the whiteboard, and how he draws on it is using that little. He buys one of those little pen tablets. That's all he does. He just talks to his building students. And he uses the whiteboard function with his electronic pen, and the students only use the chat box down the bottom. I was going to show a recording of him, but that's okay. Some advanced tips. Try using smart board software. Think about sound. Talk to Stefan. He knows all about it. Think about better quality video. And just some research, but that's all I'm going to... Okay, I have to finish there, I think. I just wanted to leave it on that note, really, to say that these are kind of some of the best outputs of... This is the outcome of research into using web conferencing across VET in Australia. And you can see that a lot of the good outcomes are similar to the kinds of things I've been talking to you today about. Apologies for rushing the tail end of it there, but I hope that was useful. Okay, thank you.